folks. Welcome to another episode of Bikes, Burgers, Beers. I'm Big Steph, your host as always, and today we are joined by VS Chick. The chick on the Vulcaness, as seen on YouTube. You know, what I love about her channel is that she's not trying to be famous. She's not trying to make money out of YouTube. She is just releasing cool videos of her doing cool stuff on her motorbikes. Whether it's modifying the Vulcaness and farkling it up until every accessory known to humankind is bolted on that little beast, or she's riding around vlogging with her friend Rebel Rider on a Honda Rebel 500. What I also love about VS Chick is that she has a go at everything. She's not afraid of pulling stuff apart, and that shows with the latest project, which she'll talk about a little bit and more right here on Bikes, Burgers, Beers. So ladies and gentlemen, you know what to do. Sit back, crack open a cold snack, and let's listen to VS Chick talk about her stuff.
Here we go. All right. Yeah, have had a pretty good day. How about you?
Oh, it's pretty crazy like this time of year.
Yeah.
Kids are going psycho.
I think everyone's going psycho right now.
Teachers are going psycho.
That's the end of every term, isn't it?
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah, the last term is like crazy though, eh? Woo!
Oh, yeah, I can imagine. I can just imagine. So, yeah, we'll get stuck into it.
Yeah.
You've heard the show before, so, you know, it's pretty casual. This isn't a current affair. There's no, like, hard-hitting questions. Like, where were you today at 12:15?
I don't know. What is the meaning of life? I don't know that either.
Motorbikes. So where did your motorcycling all begin? Like, how far back do we go?
Not, to be honest, not really that far back, hey?
Okay.
Like, I didn't grow up on a farm and ride motorbikes or anything. So I think I actually found the date out. It was
okay.
2013. So that's not that long ago.
That's like 9 years ago. That's fair. That's a pretty good run so far.
Kind of. But
it's more,
like,
than Rog from, you know, Harley Throttle Juice. It's,
really? When did
I
he?
I think so.
When did he start running?
I think when he started going out with Rochelle, she just kind of like forced it upon him and said, "You're riding a freaking motorbike." But I don't think it was that long ago. I think it was like probably like five, I can't remember now. Anyway, I'll put the link to that show down in the show notes below, and
yeah, awesome.
I might have to listen back to it and remind myself.
Yeah, so like 2013.
Okay.
So it probably, I'm not sure if it counts or not, but I got my scooter license then, right? So I don't know
was
if it counts.
Bali?
No. So yeah, when I moved to Harvey Bay, I was like, oh, I just want to get around on something cool, you know? So I thought, oh, I'll get a scooter. And basically did the course. The guy was laughing at me a fair bit because everybody else is on motorbikes. And here I am on this like little 100, you know, I think it was a Biwi. Yamaha Biwi. Living my life. I absolutely loved it. And then I can't remember how long ago, but like a little bit further down the track, I actually realized that they'd given me a full license. So,
really?
Yeah. So
let's just glance over that point of the story.
Yeah, so they actually gave me my full license. And then I thought, oh, oops. Well, you know, I've got my license. I might as well, you know, buy a motorbike. So, yes, shush, don't tell anyone that one. But basically went and bought a 125. CBR 125 from Maribyrnong, about half an hour away. And they're like, oh, do you want to take it for a ride? And I was like, no, thanks. I don't know how.
So
and
you didn't abuse this power you had of a full license and just, I want that Hayabusa, give me that.
No, I was petrified, to be honest. So, yeah, I got this like 125 and basically taught myself how to ride.
Wow.
And yeah, like rode to work. Like the day after I bought it.
Well, you know, you had your full license by that
well,
stage.
Well, so. I did on paper.
But you had no idea what you were doing.
No idea.
Oh, no.
So yeah, that was pretty exciting. I figured out obviously how to ride. And yep. I can't remember what year I bought that bike. I think I wrote it down. So I think like early 2019, okay. I bought that bike. So, yeah, officially riding a motorbike not that long ago. But got my license in, yeah.
But you did get your full license. I remember watching that episode on your YouTube channel. That's right.
Yeah. Yeah, so I got my license, my unrestricted. I think that they have different laws and stuff down south. I don't know, but like,
yeah,
we can ride bikes up to like 650 cc, mm-hmm. about, so like the LAMS approved bikes, and then we have to do another test to, you know, to be able to ride unrestricted stuff. So
okay,
yeah, I did that.
So is that you're talking about that test, like you get your L's, you get your P's,
yeah,
do you guys do all that in Queensland, and then what happened? And then you get your unrestricted license. Is that how it works up there too?
So you have, when I got it, I did like a 2-day course or whatever. And then at the end of that, I got my license. I think at that stage, I just got my learners as per normal, like back in the day, just do the questionnaire thing. And then, yeah, I did like a 2-day course for my license. And then it kind of matched whatever I had on my license for my car license. So. Okay. I didn't have P's or anything. I just went straight to opens.
Right.
Yeah. And then, so I had that license for however many years. And then I went and did my R license. So that was like another day course. And then at the end of that, you can ride whatever bike.
Right. Okay. Yeah, fair enough.
There's a couple of, I think we've just got like one extra sort of hoop to jump through.
To just get you to an unrestricted license where you can ride anything above 650 cc's. Okay.
Yeah.
Because I did my license a long time ago, so I don't know what they're like these days. But
yeah.
My friend Sash and my friend Cam have only recently got their license, like in the last 3 to 5 years.
Okay.
I believe they just did their learners, the stay upright course, and then they sit their test on the computer. They get their learners, and then they go and ride. And then I think when they do their provisional license, their P's test, basically, which you're saying you bypassed. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, interesting. Because they did that. And then I believe they just go and once they've done their P's, it's really just like a matter of time.
Mm.
Once a year has lapsed or 6 months or whatever it is, 2 years, I don't know. I guess it's different for everyone.
Yeah.
And then, yeah, they just go to the local RMS, we call it here, and they just get their full license. So there's no other test after that. That's interesting that you got one more just to... I didn't know that about Queensland. Mm,
yeah.
To be honest, that's probably a good thing. That should be just nationwide.
Mm.
Just to... Yeah, one more test. Here's your unrestricted license. Now go and buy the Hayabusa.
Yeah. Yeah, so like in that second test, like you have to do the test on a bigger bike. So you prove, I guess, that you have the ability to ride something bigger.
Yeah.
So rather than just going down the shop saying, I want that one. So, I mean, I think it's good. It's a good thing, but, I mean, it costs money. That sounds
like a really good thing.
Mm.
Yeah, it costs money, but really it's preparing you a little bit better for jumping on a bigger bike because, yeah, it does make a difference going from a LAMS bike to an unrestricted motorcycle.
Mm. Yeah, it's a bit scary.
It can be sometimes.
Yeah.
So you did all that, and then you still kept the Vulcan S, which is awesome because, you know, your YouTube channel, which we'll talk about a bit later.
Yeah.
And, yeah, you've done a lot of stuff to that.
Yeah.
So what made you get the Vulcan S to start with?
Well, so after I got my, you know, my little 125, I thought, I know how to ride it now. I might get something bigger. And so I got because I wanted to sort of get out of town. The 125, I couldn't really take it on the highway. It was petrifying, to be honest. It was a lot of road around me and not too much else. So I actually upgraded then to a Ninja 250 and I rode that for a bit. Loved it. Good fun. But I then had a low speed crash on it. Another bike sort of, you know, ran into the back of me.
Okay.
And I was pushed into the car in front. You know, bike landed on top of me and stuff. And yeah, so pretty much after that, I I wasn't sure if I was going to sort of get back on the bike, to be honest.
Mm.
Just because it hurt a lot. It hurt a lot, and I wasn't even going that fast. I was pretty much stopped, and I think it was a bit of a wake up call. You know, this is kind of dangerous.
Yeah.
Is it something that I want to keep on doing? And ultimately, like, yes, I love it. It's fun. So I started, you know, researching bikes, and I wanted something that I would be able to go on longer trips, you know, on. Mm-hmm. So something I didn't think I would get onto a cruiser style bike for, you know, a fair few years, but then I thought, you know, I may as well. And, you know, found the Vulcan on Facebook Marketplace for a really decent price. It was like $7,500 for a 2016. And then I was like, yeah, this is it, you know, I love this bike. This is awesome. So, yeah, it kind of all started from there, to be honest.
Yeah.
Because I could get out of town.
Yeah.
You know.
Because that's a good thing about that bike. It is big enough and powerful enough that you can hit the open road. You don't feel vulnerable, you know, like on a 125 or even a 250 for that matter.
Yeah.
And physically it's big enough to be comfortable to tour on and not feel like you're cramped up and all squashed up like an accordion on the seat.
I think with the Ninja, like I did a couple of longer trips on the Ninja. I think the furthest I went was like the Sunshine Coast, so probably about, I don't know, three and a half maybe hours away from where I am.
Yep.
And it was like 110 zone, and oh my God, I was holding on for dear life, you know, and it was like the wind was just crazy. It's like you sort of try and turn to the, not turn, but like, you know, look to the right if you, you know, is there a car behind me? Can I merge or whatever? And like your whole helmet's like, like, oh my God, I'm going to die. And then like getting on the Vulcan, it's like, oh man, an amazing amount of difference. You just sit, you can look around, you can just, you know, you're just full on comfortable. It was just, oh, such a massive improvement.
Nah, brilliant. And obviously you're keeping that bike for a long time because you spent a lot of time doing various projects on that, which we'll talk about in a second.
Mm.
And obviously your channel's named after that as well. So, you know, you can't just go and rebrand. You can't.
That's right.
Although I remember that look on your face when you started up that Harley Davidson Sportster in East Lynn. That was like, oh my God.
That whole experience, just like being around that many bikes, and oh my God, it was amazing. I was like, I want one of everything. Yeah.
I just remember when you started that thing up, I was just like, oh, she's just changed her mind.
Yeah, the VS chick, or, you know, the Harley Davidson chick, I don't know. Yeah. Just like change it overnight and just see if anyone notices, you know.
Yeah, just no, that's the VS. No, it's just a bit louder and a bit, you know, obnoxious.
Yeah, no, I love the Vulcan. I think that's probably, you know, that's the bike I'll stick with for many years. And I think even if I did get another bike, I'd probably just keep it anyway.
Yeah.
You know, it's just so fun.
Yeah.
Just around, it's small enough around town to just have fun. And it's, you know, big enough to do the longer trip. So
that's it.
Mm.
And that's a very good point, because talking to guys like Roger and Rochelle, we're almost thinking about getting a different bike in addition to their existing bikes.
Yeah.
Roger and Rochelle from Harley Throttle Juice for my listeners.
Yeah.
And they wanted something a bit smaller, so they were almost going to buy a Sportster just to do that sort of thing, to be able to just get around town, because they got their big Street Glide, basically, and you know, both of them, the CVO and the Street Glide Special, and they're big bikes, and same as Rob from Throttle Down Under,
yeah,
who, you know, he's looking at getting a different bike, and I think this episode may come out before, probably come out after he's already upgraded, but he's mentioned something about getting a different bike.
Yeah, I got a sneaky photo the other day.
Ah, okay. So he's kind of doing the round, sharing it with everyone. I see. I didn't want to say anything between you and me, but, you know, I'll let him spread the word. But our listeners are just going to have to subscribe to his YouTube channel.
I'll have to go and check it out. Yeah,
you know, I'll leave links to that in the show notes down below as well. So with the VS, you're talking about if you did get a different bike, you'd definitely keep the VS. What would be a favorite motorcycle? What would the dream bike be right now?
I don't know. I really like the, you know, the look of the Scrambler kind of style, like old school style. I reckon that's just, that'd be so cool. I don't think like it would be particularly comfortable for long trips or anything, but I mean, it'd be awesome to just cruise around on one. Like, it'd be cool.
Yeah. So, like, one of the Triumph Scramblers or...
Yeah, something like that. Yeah. They're nice. Good-looking bikes, hey.
They are pretty good-looking bikes. And Triumph has always made pretty high-quality stuff. And their fit and finish is really, really nice. But, yeah.
Yeah.
The Triumph Scrambler does look pretty nice. Yeah, that's for sure. Definitely a cool favorite bike. But you do already have another motorcycle sitting in the driveway.
Yeah.
Yeah, which I'm keen to see more about on YouTube.
Yeah.
Can you tell our listeners what's going on there? What did you get?
So I have a 1974 G4TR Kawasaki. Yeah. So full on old school bike that I'm trying, fingers crossed, to get started. I've done a fair bit to it already, but I've got no idea what the hell I'm doing.
But you've been learning lots.
I have. Yeah. I've been learning a ton. It's like, I love the challenge. I think that's like the whole thing with doing modifications to the Vulcan as well. I just love figuring stuff out. I find it so satisfying at the end when, you know, you've made whatever it is work. And I just love that feeling of not having to ask someone else, can you come and do this for me? Like, I love it. And again, I don't know what the hell I'm doing, but I'm going to give it a go. So,
that's been the best thing about watching that little series happen.
Yeah.
And I know it's sporadic because you have to have time and, you know, and also an old bike like that, parts and all of that as well would be challenging to find.
Mm-hmm.
But, I've been enjoying it because not so much for the bike itself, but more specifically watching that learning experience come through has been really, really nice to watch. And I think anyone who's listening to this who doesn't know about you should watch some of those videos. Definitely subscribe to the channel. And, I personally enjoy them. But I love fixing things anyway. So for me, watching those videos, it's always like, what is she going to do there and how is she going to fix that? And so I really like them.
Oh, that's cool. That's cool.
Yeah.
One of the things I often think about is like, people who are like watching the channel and specifically those videos, you know, I often think, are they just sitting there going, oh my God, the answer is right there. Just do that. it's right there. You're looking at it, you know? And I think, oh man, am I like really frustrating the hell out of someone? Because I'm like, that's not the right color, I don't think. When I let all that, like, I let all the oil out and there's just like muck going everywhere. And then it was like this layer of water on the top. And I'm like, is that right? And some poor person's there going, oh my God, just fix it already.
But that's the thing, that perspective is from someone who's done that 1,000 times and knows where this is your first time doing it. And it's a big difference, you know, adding on some extra bits and pieces to the Vulcan. You've been modifying it, but really they're just good quality bolt-on parts that they're not really posing a particular challenge, whereas this is like you've got to troubleshoot and figure it out. So it's a whole different kettle of fish. And like I said, from my perspective, I'm loving it.
Oh, that's good. That's good to hear. Yeah. I'm finding it frustrating. I've got some parts, you know, sitting in the office area that are ready to go for it. Okay. So I just need to have a bit of time. Like, I've got holidays coming up.
Yeah.
So, like, the thing that kind of frustrates me as well is I don't have a shed. So I can't just, like, pull the bike apart and go, okay, I'm going to work on this little part today. It's like I can't pull it apart and then leave bits of it everywhere because it messes with my brain. Like, I can't leave that part over there. I have to pretty much work on it and put it all back together. Because I don't have like a you know, a good workstation area. So that slows it down a little bit as well. Mm. But I'll get there. It will start and it will be a glorious day.
It will. I can't wait.
Oh,
To hear it start, see it start. And it's two-stroke as well, so it's going to be blowing smoke.
Yeah.
Your neighbors are going to call the fire truck.
I can't wait. I mean, I can't wait to ride it as well. I think it'll just be so fun. I'm going to ride the hell of it, out of it too, you know, just it's going to be brilliant.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely it will. So we've talked about your YouTube channel or hinted towards it quite a fair bit. Why did you begin the YouTube channel in the first place?
I think when I bought the Vulcan, I just was having such an epic time. And I thought, man, I want to film this. Like, I want to, you know, try and have a record of this, you know, of this experience. And I didn't sort of go, okay, I'm going to make a YouTube channel now. But I was like, I want to film this. Like, how cool is this, you know? I bought a GoPro. And I'm like, all right, sweet, let's attach it to the helmet. And then I went for a ride and I looked back at the footage and I was like, this is insane. This is so cool. This is exactly what it's like. Because it gives you that that perspective, like especially the chin mount I've found. Mm-hmm. It's just such an awesome perspective of what it's like when you're riding. And I was like, man, this is so cool. And then I obviously made a video and thought, all right, I got to do something with this now. So, then that's when the VS chick was born. The channel became. So, from there, I was like, man, I was just hooked. I was hooked immediately. Yeah. I think the one thing that I'm actually, like, super proud of is when I first put up that video, I'd kind of had in my head the, you know, I saw the potential of what the channel could kind of be. And I did that little VS chick logo and it's on as a watermark on my very first video. And I'm like, man, well done me. Like, I was so pumped that, you know, I had the vision all the way back then. Mm-hmm. And I mean, I think the name of the channel changed. I think I was like Vulcan-esque girl or something like that. So that aspect of it kind of, you know, evolved over time. Mm. But yeah, that little logo, I'm like, that's like, yeah, I'm really proud of that.
Oh, brilliant.
Mm.
So yeah, it's nice to hear that because some people talk about the beginning of their YouTube channels and they say, oh, look, you know, those first videos were just cringe. I just look back and they go, oh.
Yeah.
You know, and so yeah, it's kind of nice knowing that as soon as you did that, you were like, yes, this is the thing. This is what I'm doing.
Yeah. I think I still watch those initial videos and cringe. The ones where I start talking. They drive me insane. I'm like, oh, my freaking God, I am waffling. Like, speed things up. So I feel as though, like, I've learned a fair bit along the way. Yeah, I think I watched this video about how to create a YouTube channel or whatever. And the best advice I was given was just start, press record, just start.
That's it.
And don't overthink it too much.
No, definitely not.
That's kind of what inspired me to just get the videos out. I think I got like maybe 5-6 videos out before I had a single subscriber. And I was like, I have a subscriber.
One subscriber, yeah. Yes.
I took a screenshot. I was like, this is awesome.
Posting it on Instagram. Check it out.
That's
There's someone out there watching this. Why?
Exactly. Why the hell would you do that?
Too good.
It's good fun, hey. I absolutely love it.
Alrighty, folks, we've come to that point in the show today where we're going to take a short break to hear from our show sponsors. Please stay tuned and remember, those discount codes still apply, so make sure you use them. Time to get myself a new jacket and a matching pair of gloves. With the discount code over at Johnny Reb, our show sponsor, it makes it really affordable, and I have to say, damn, I look good in some Johnny Reb gear. All I have to do is enter the code BIKES15 at checkout over at johnnyreb.com.au, that's BIKES15, and I instantly get 15% off all my purchases, and to top it off, if I spend over $49, they give me free shipping. That's easy. johnnyreb.com.au. Oh yeah. Riding your bike? Thirsty work. Mowing the lawn? Thirsty work. You deserve a refreshing drink. My top beer, the Nectar of the Hops from Willie the Boatman, is rated number 99 in the top beers of Australia. Well, it's number one in my household, and just to make it sweeter, Willie the Boatman are offering you 20% off all their purchases on their website. All you gotta do is enter the code hashtag BikesBurgersBeers at checkout on willytheboatman.com and you get beer delivered to your door. Nothing like cracking open a cold one after wrestling with the lawnmower. Still thirsty? Nah, not anymore. Okay, ladies and gentlemen, back to the show.
So we were talking about before with mounting the GoPro to the front of the helmet, and you mentioned how that gives you just the best perspective of riding. It's almost as if you are there on the bike.
Yeah.
What do you love about riding the most?
Oh, I reckon... that's such a good question. Oh, man. I feel like probably the thing I like most is that you can't think about anything else. You have to just think about the ride and stay switched on. And so if you've had like a full-on day at work or, you know, stress of life is sort of piling up, you can just get on the bike and it's like it instantly goes. And you just get on the bike and it's like, you know, that's it. And I think, like, I really like, I love that, you know, my mate Rebel rides with me, but it's different to just being in a car because you're with someone.
That's right.
And... so when you're on the bike, you know, it's just you. It's just you. And I think the whole, you know, because you've got to change the gears, you're just fully in control of this machine. And there's like no one else influencing, you know, what you're doing, your experience that you're having, apart from other terrible drivers. Those people, they influence it. Yeah. But I don't know. It's just like such a freeing feeling. You know, just feeling the wind on you and the bugs that get caught in your helmet and, oh, it's just, I love it, hey.
Yeah. No, fantastic. That's brilliant. That's brilliant. What future plans have you got for the VS? Because I think I mentioned once to you, it looks like you've fuckled up that VS to the point where it's like, do you have any accessories left to put on that thing? What have you got planned? Is there any little secrets you can share with us?
Yeah, I actually have out in the other room, right? I got some ape hangers.
No way.
Way. Oh, nice. I am petrified of that modification, I tell you what. Oh.
Yeah, because I've done that before. I've done it on my Sportster.
Yeah.
You need to look at your brake lines being extended, which means knowing how to bleed the brakes.
Yeah.
Does your VS have ABS?
Yeah.
Okay. So, so there's a couple of tricks around that as well.
I'll be sending you a message. Help. Do we need brakes? Nah.
Nah, just go faster.
the engine braking, you know, that works enough.
Yeah, that's plenty. Yeah. But yeah, even like extending all the wires for the controls as well.
Yeah, that came in the big kit with
it. Oh, that came with the kit. Oh, that's cool. That's awesome. Because a lot of the times you're left in the dark with that. They just, here's your handlebars, see you later. It's up to you to do the rest of it. So that's kind of nice that it came with the kit.
Yeah.
Yeah, but the biggest thing will be wiring, brakes, throttle cable and clutch cable. I know some people have gone, oh, no, the clutch cable's long enough, and it kind of is, but what happens is because it's kind of pulling it, what can happen is your clutch can, even though you've let go of the clutch lever entirely, it's still pulling on the clutch and it can wear it out and basically make it feel like it's slipping all the time because it actually is. Yeah, so clutch cable, throttle cables, brake hose and all your wires for like start button indicator, all that stuff in the control switch. Yeah.
Yeah, it's going to be a mammoth job. I mean, it has been sitting out there for like, I don't know, a couple of days and I'm like, I haven't even opened up, you know, the packaging yet because I'm like, oh God. Nah, so it's going to be massive, but...
It is. It's definitely a big project. I know a lot of people in the past, especially on some of the Harley groups that I'm on, complain, oh, the dealer's charging me $2,500 to change a handlebars over. It's like, yeah, but they're going to spend 6-7 hours doing this and then plus parts and the wiring and everything and bleeding the brakes and starting again. And it's like, you know what? That's actually about right.
Yeah.
And so... If you think about a $2,000 bill from a dealership or a motorbike shop, you go, wow, that's a lot of work. So,
yeah.
Yeah, and not trying to scare you away from it.
You know that it's done correctly as well.
That's right.
Yeah.
But
I think the plan that I have is, like, you know, find as much information out as I possibly can and just go slow. If I get to a point where I go, I don't know this part, I don't feel confident, I'm just going to stop there, which is pretty much what I do most of the time anyway. Just if I get to a point where I'm like, you know, I don't know about this part, you know, but if I can get it, you know, installed, I'd pretty much ride it straight away, get it to, you know, my local guy to have a bit of a look over and just check to make sure everything's all good, you know?
Yep. Nah, perfect.
I generally do that on, like, you know, before I go on long trips as well, just like get it serviced and checked over. Yeah.
Perfect. That's the right thing to do because it just has an expert look over it and make sure everything's done correctly and it's ready to go. And that way when you go on your trip, you're not going to have any mishaps or disappointments.
That's exactly right.
Yeah. Ah, perfect. And if you have any questions, you know who to talk to.
I'm definitely... Help me! What is this here? You were like, that's the handlebars. Oh, I forgot that part.
That's your hand.
Highly likely this is going to happen. We're seeing the future right now.
Yeah. Well, that sounds like an epic project.
Yeah, it's going
to
be huge.
I know it is going to be, and I'm sure the videos are going to be. You might have to do that in several parts as well.
Yeah, quite possibly. I think there's not too many videos out there as well. I think, like, going back to the G4TR as well, that's why it's difficult, is because it's not a common bike, so there's not too much information out there about it. So with these bars, like, there's not too many videos of the entire process. Like, there's this one video that's pretty good, and then it gets to a point and it goes, oh, this part's boring. Or, you know, we'll come back a little bit later on, and then it's like the bike's completely apart. You're like, what happened? Where did everything go?
So, no, I wanted to see the boring part.
Yes. Where did you get that part from? Like, where did it go?
Well, that sounds like a pretty epic project.
Yes.
Well, one of the things I was going to ask was any other projects you got going on, but that pretty much answers that question. So, yeah, and that sounds like a pretty big one.
Oh, it's going to be huge, hey? And I think, like, one of the things with the channel that I always want to make sure that I do is I don't want to just put out content for the sake of having a video. I'm really conscious of that. And I don't want to just jump on the bike and just go for a ride and just talk.
Yeah.
Because I don't feel as though that's sort of like what my channel kind of offers people.
Mm.
So, I don't think it'll ever get to a point, hopefully, where it's like that, just filling in time. I just want to keep it going. So I think if, you know, that's why I kind of try and do a little bit of everything, you know, camping and do some like tips where we've got like a specific point of conversation, modifications and us being loonies, basically, like road trips or whatever. Hopefully it doesn't get to a point where it's just like, okay, let me talk about my sore toe. because that would just suck.
Yeah, absolutely. You're definitely not going to get any subscribers doing that. Although, might be different type of subscribers.
Yeah, foot fetish.
Maybe not on YouTube. Maybe some other particular social site.
Yeah, let's hope not.
So we also spoke about Rebel Rider a little bit then. So I know she's not on with us right now, although she's handy. She's more than welcome to join. But yeah, tell us more about her, because she's in a lot of your videos.
Yeah.
And she's got a Honda Rebel 500.
She does. So Rebel, she is there for the bants. Her role is for the banter. Nah, she's cool. I just love having a riding buddy, someone that you can, you know, go off and experience like an adventure with. I feel as though I'm probably slightly more, you know, at this, you know, at the level of wanting to go and do stuff, and I have to try and drag her along to a few things, shove a camera in her face and say, smile. But yeah, so she kind of leaves all of the filming and stuff most of the time up to me. But I tell you what, it's so much easier to film a video when she's in there. Because it's basically you're just talking to each other, and then you're filming and sharing your conversation or whatever with the audience. It's so much better when she's in a video. I feel as though the vibe is so much happier and more relaxed.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, which is great. But she is probably, if I wasn't doing it, she wouldn't be doing it. If I wasn't putting the camera in her face, she wouldn't do it.
Yep, fair enough.
So back when I had the scooter, she kind of inspired me, I guess, to get a bike, a motorbike, because I was having heaps of fun. And then, you know, on the scooter, and so I met her on our soccer team. And, you know, I mentioned I've got this like scooter, and she's like, oh, I want a scooter. So she got a scooter. And then I was like, oh, well, this is pretty fun, you know, like, and then her dad. So in a couple of the videos, her dad's in it as Pommy Paul.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, Pommy Paul, he had a motorbike, and I was like, oh, well, that looks cool. So that kind of got the ball rolling a little bit.
Okay.
And, so yeah, then after I got the 125, she was like, okay, well, you know, I might jump on a bike too. And it just sort of progressed from there.
Okay.
And, you know, we have the nice little friendly banter or whatever with whose bike's better. and it's mine.
Yeah. Well, the cat decided. I saw that video.
The cat decided? Right at the end, the cat decided. Yes, she did.
You know, she like kind of gave her a bit of false confidence at first.
That's right.
Yeah, but nah, I'm going over here.
Yeah, but honestly, it's just so fun riding with someone who loves riding. And we have like the comms as well.
Oh, nice.
And it's so good because you're helping each other out by saying, oh, this loser looks like he's going to pull out, or, you know, my butt's getting numb, can we pull over? Or, you know, it's just, it's a good experience, I reckon, to ride with a buddy.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And like you said, on the channel, it's great having both of you there because, like, it's more casual, it's more fun. And I notice there's often more bloopers as well, which I like.
Yeah.
And who doesn't? I mean, really, that's the best bit.
Yeah.
Or even when there's no bloopers and it's just, you know, banter and antics.
Yeah.
And, you know, whether she's handing you tools or...
tiny tools.
Tiny tools.
Yeah, it's good fun. You know, I think a few subscribers have commented, oh, you know, you should have a spin-off channel, Rebel Rider. And I was like, no, don't. Stay.
A bit of friendly rivalry.
That's it. Yeah, she's a good chick.
It's cool. So we've talked heaps about bikes and YouTube channel as well. Like I said, I'll leave links to the channel and your Instagram page for our listeners to look at. make sure they click follow and subscribe as well and check out some of these videos because they're heaps of fun.
Sometimes educational, most of the time.
Sometimes educational. There's nothing wrong with it not being educational. But yeah, it absolutely fantastic. What I wanted to move on to next was if you have any favorite burger places or places that you've stopped at and eaten at while you're riding.
Well, I have this place on the Esplanade that I go to. It is the 70s Diner.
Okay.
And the burgers are awesome. Chips are even better. Love it. But like I'm gluten-free, dairy-free.
Okay.
So like finding a place that does that well is hard. You know, you can't just go, okay, I'm going to stop there and, you know, grab something. It's like, okay, we have to specifically stop at that shop.
Yeah.
Because yeah, otherwise you'll be disappointed. but there's this place that we stop at. It's a pie place. Beefies. Do you guys have Beefies?
No, I don't think so.
Beefies Pies, they do awesome gluten-free stuff.
Okay, great.
So generally if we're on a road trip, Beefies is on the list of places to stop. So, okay. But yeah, it is hard because it's like gluten-free, dairy-free. But I mean, we make a pretty good mean burger, you know, at home here. So, yeah. And also like Burger Urge does, they do good burgers.
They're great. First time I tried them was in Tamworth in April because we don't have any down towards Sydney and I'm in the Blue Mountains, so we don't have any of that. But I tried them in Tamworth and I think they're more sort of, Queensland and also more country New South Wales.
Oh, wow, okay.
I think more just down the coast. So Tamworth, they got, I think, Port Macquarie, a couple of other places, but that's pretty much it. Yeah. But I tried them for the first time in Tamworth in April, and I've got a similar but not quite the same problem as you, and some people know this. I don't advertise it too often, but I'm vegan.
Yeah.
So for me, a burger, it's like, how do you even eat a burger if you're vegan?
Yeah.
And, you know, there's products out there, that, especially now, that are great because you don't have to go into a burger place and get, like, the frozen veggie patty, which is basically just like mashed potato that's been deep fried with like peas and corn in it.
Yeah.
And which I call the truck stop patty.
Like the truck just like has a generic.
The trucker ran over it and did a burnout on it and said, that's shit.
And then chucked that on your burger. Yeah. Yep. Delicious.
He went, flavor. For once. But like, you know, now we've got like Beyond Meats and Impossible Meats and all that sort of stuff that are, that some of them are scarily close to a real burger patty. So, but Burger Urge does those and they have like meat-free Mondays and all that sort of stuff. So I've already told the guys in Tamworth, like, heads up, I'm coming. Like, see you in January for the Country Music Festival because I play up there. So I think I'll be eating lunch there every day.
Yeah,
so.
They're pretty delicious, hey? They're so
good.
They're
really
good. And the chips really are really good. Awesome as well.
Yes, they are.
I mean, you can't have a burger without chips. And if the chips are terrible, you know, is it really a burger?
Yeah, it's... Yeah, you got to have both. You got to have both. Yeah. No, Burger Urge is good. I'm going to put them in the show notes as well because I agree 100%. Okay, so I've got the 70s Diner. So that place is called the 70s Diner?
I have no idea. I think so.
Ah, okay.
Maybe I should Google this.
And as far as favorite drinks go?
Yep.
Are you into beers, wine, spirits, or you prefer soft drinks and... All of the above?
Well, so I grew up in Bundaberg.
Okay.
So Bundy rum was always my go-to drink. I don't tend to drink that much these days. But if I have a drink, like Bundy rum is like a must.
Yeah.
I don't mind like cider. That's pretty boring, like a bit of a girl boring drink.
but there's pretty good ciders out there.
There's like a raspberry one.
Okay.
I can't remember what brand it is, but like, yeah, damn, it's delicious.
Okay.
Mm.
Oh, well, we'll have to, I'll have to get that off you as well later. And
I'll send you all these photos and you'll be like, why are you sending me photos of drinks and food and...
Or I'll be like, that looks delicious.
Yeah, it's like, I'll have that.
So Bundy, which would be like mother's milk to you. I mean, I'm sure people in Bundaberg drink it out of their baby bottles, really.
Yeah, they do. No, like my family, I don't know if they still do this, but whenever we'd had visitors come and stay at our house, we'd always do a tour at the Bundy Rum Factory.
Okay.
And because they're locals and they're bringing people from, you know, out of town in, they would get a free drink.
Oh, no way.
So they'd be like, sweet, what are we doing this weekend? Does anyone want to come visit? We could take you to the rum distillery.
Well, it sounds like I have a trip planned.
I'll be like, Mum and Dad, oi, do you want a free drink?
That's hilarious. Well, next time I'm up there, I will definitely...
yeah, you should. You
definitely
should.
Hit you guys up for that for sure. I mean, A, it'll be a fun tour, and B, you know, get to watch your parents get drunk.
You know, they should always start off with a drink and then do the tour, don't you think?
Yeah,
they always
I think
do the
so.
Drink at the end, but how cool would it be if it was like the other way around?
Yeah.
You're like fully relaxed, like, that is so cool. Everybody would be like, level would be like up here, you know. Like, this is the best tour ever.
There we go. Any alcoholic beverage companies listening, handy tip, if you're doing tours to the public, start the drink straight off the bat. Although that can be a little bit funny, especially if it's like, you know, your first tour for the day is at 9 a.m.
Nah, blood, it's blood, all cool. Blood, blood. 9 a.m.'s all right.
9 a.m.'s all right. I guess the pubs kind of start opening by then. It's safe. I don't know. Maybe the rules up there are different. Yeah, I remember doing a tour of the Cascade Brewery down in Tasmania over 20 years ago. And yeah, they give you the drinks at the end, but it'd be cool if they gave you the drinks at the beginning.
Yeah, that it really, it makes sense, doesn't it?
It does.
It makes sense.
You can just walk around the brewery with a beer in your hand. I think that's acceptable.
Yeah, of course.
So is there anything that you'd like to share with our listeners that we maybe haven't covered, or I haven't asked you something, or...
Let me think. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
There is something that I am so excited about. All right. I am going to go to the meetup in Tassie and I'm going to ride the bike there.
Oh, yes. So I ride all the way down.
Oh, man, I'm
onto
so
the ferry.
Excited. Yep.
Amazing. Have you told anyone that yet, or is this a
secret?
Not
officially. Not officially.
Oh,
yeah.
Oh. So should I edit this out? Should I
leave
it in?
Put it in. Put it in. No, it's going to be awesome, hey. I think I'm, you know, as I said before, I'm going to get the bike serviced.
Yeah, of course.
Before, you know, before doing that many Ks, because it's going to be a massive trip.
It's a lot
trip.
Of Ks.
It really is.
Yes.
I think not too long ago, maybe a couple of months ago, we did a trip to down as far as Ballina in New South Wales.
Yep.
And, you know, that was a pretty big trip. The bike handled it awesomely.
Absolutely.
Both bikes, like Rebel was there as well. Bikes handled it fine. She's coming to Tassie as well.
Oh, brilliant.
So that'll be cool. But the one thing I noticed was when I was riding was like my shoulders were getting so sore.
Yeah.
So that's sort of why I had, you know, thought about getting those, like those higher bars so that I wasn't sort of leaning forward so much because, like, man, my shoulder was just, was struggling. It was like just
Absolutely.
Someone pinching my nerve the whole trip back. I was
no.
So if I'm doing some seriously long Ks going to Tassie, I'm going to need to be, like, fully comfortable.
Absolutely. Mm. Yeah, for sure.
But I'm excited,
amazing.
Hey.
Yeah, absolutely. That's great to hear because I didn't know that was happening. And, yeah, that might even give me a good title for this episode. VS Chick drops a bombshell. And she's buying a Harley. No.
Do it. Just do it. VS Chick sells bike.
Yeah. Yeah.
Push bike.
Push bike. Oh, too good. No, that's awesome. That's great news because,
yeah,
I'm looking forward to that meetup. And
so you're going?
Yeah, I am. Yeah, cool. I haven't confirmed anything yet. I probably won't know really until early next year, but yeah. I'm basically, my mind's made up. It's just a matter of sitting making down and work. Looking at the logistics and making it work. Yeah. But that's great news. That's going to be awesome.
It's going to be like a mammoth trip, but I'm ready. And I'm going to have the GoPro at the ready.
Yep.
Film it all. And
yeah. You'll need to have that connected like to the charger. Like while you're just to save battery and you're gonna have to buy a lot of SD cards.
when I do filming, like generally, like even with this like most recent trip that I did to Ballina, I don't just film everything. Like I'm conscious of that as well, that I do actually want to just enjoy the ride. Of course. So generally I kind of think in my head what it is I want to film, and then I just film those little snippets of parts, like, okay, what do I need to make the story kind of work? And then I make sure that I film those parts. So I am anticipating a lot of footage for the Tassie trip, but I'm not just going to be like, okay, GoPro's filming everything, because, oh, my God, that would be a nightmare.
And trying to edit that too is a nightmare.
It takes such a long time, hey?
Yeah. And then you're uploading like 50, 100 gigs of files, and it's just like, ugh.
Yeah. It's hard work.
It is hard work, yeah, and that's the thing I found a lot of YouTubers, including myself, but a lot of guests I've had on the show, they'll always go, oh, you know, this was all great and fun to start with, and then the folks that just do record everything, and it's like, yeah, you do see some burnout after a while because it gets overwhelming.
And that's like, that's one thing that I really just don't want to do is just film because I want to put a video out. Otherwise you would just get burnt out because you're like, I don't know what I'm going to do the video on, and it's just like a big pain to edit everything.
Absolutely.
So I still want to, like, my whole like vibe with the YouTube channel is that like I'm just experiencing it for myself and then bringing other people along for the ride. It's not me going out to film a video so that other people can enjoy it.
Mm-hmm.
It's ultimately about, you know, me riding the bike. So I kind of make sure that I do it in that order and have that mindset when I film it, because otherwise it would just burn you out. Like,
absolutely would. Yeah.
Yeah. No, but it is good fun. It is good fun.
It is.
Especially for bloopers.
Yeah.
They're the best bits. Sometimes the whole video is a blooper. And I'm like, shit, I've got to somehow get some like meaningful thing into that as well.
Or not. Put the whole video out and let just people laugh and go, what are you doing?
Yeah, what the hell?
Well, thank you so much for taking the time to do this. I really appreciate it. It's just been really great having you on today. So I hope you enjoyed being here.
Thank you so much for having me. I was like super pumped when you asked me. I was like, ooh, I'm going to be on a podcast. I can't wait to listen to the intro. No, this has been a blast, hey.
Awesome. No, thanks again. And I'll let you enjoy the rest of your evening.
Thank you very much.
No one can see that except me.
All right, that was cool, man. I liked it.
Yeah, thank you so much. Yeah, I'll.
All righty, folks. How's VS Chick's luck? I mean, she goes to do her license, and they give her a full rider's license. What the hell? What kind of rebel rider are you? You see what I did there? I'll see myself out. However, guys and girls, those stories were so refreshing to hear, you know, holding on for dear life, riding on what is essentially one of the biggest first road trips you've done, and riding small bikes and coming off and being hurt and getting disgruntled and scared and upgrading to a bike that better suits you. I think we can all relate to those stories. It was great having a chat to VS Chick. I enjoyed it, and I hope you did too. And that 70s diner, she confirmed with me later on in a chat,
It's a 50s diner. I think it's called the 50s diner. Links will be down below as always, so you too can enjoy a delicious meal if you're ever heading up that way towards Harvey Bay. And the VS Chick cider of choice was Summersby's Blackberry Cider. So links are down there below if you want to check that out too. And after all of that, she dropped that bombshell bit of news that she's heading to Tassie for the Content Creators Meetup. Looks like I'm probably going to head down there too, so definitely worth checking that out. Come on down and meet all your fellow content creators that you're fans of. And some of those guys and girls have been on the show before, back in season one and some of season two as well. But hey, VS Chick will be riding all the way down there. That is a huge trip, so she's going to be exhausted, but looking forward to catching up with her again. Now, folks, if you enjoyed Bikes, Burgers, Beers, be sure to check out our Patreon page and our Instagram. Follow us for just stories and news and updates and things like that. Patreon, of course, makes this show happen. So thank you, ladies and gentlemen, for your support there as well. And remember to use our discount codes for our wonderful show sponsors. Folks, that's it for today. Thanks for listening. As always, I've been Big Steph. You've been awesome. And remember, folks, keep it twisted.